Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining the program. Today is part two of a message of three keys to successful marriage according to the Bible. If you want to hear part one, you can go to my website, Torah Life Ministries. Now, here is part two from yesterday's message. And women, if you will just learn to help a man in all things, not some things, in all things he needs help with, not selectiveness, not when you feel like it, if you would just learn to help a man, you will have peace and shalom in your life. I want to look at a few scriptures before we end here now. So the first thing I want to look at is 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, wives and husbands, likewise, let the wives be in subjection to their own husband, so that even if some husbands are disobeying the word through the way of life of the wives, they will have been gained without a word, because they watched your pure way of life in reverent fear, for whom your beauty must not be external things, but the braiding of hair and wearing of gold or putting on adorning clothes, but the secret person of the heart, the imperishable quality of the gentle and quiet spirit, which is the suppressing value for Yahweh. For so also in former times the holy wives, those who hoped in Yahweh, were putting themselves in order by being subjective to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, of whom you have become daughters by doing good and not being afraid, and not at all in all terror. Likewise, husbands, because you live together, you know your wife as the weaker feminine vessel, by showing honor to her as also fellow hirers of the grace of life. Your prayers should not be hindered. And it goes on to say, in suffering for righteousness' sake, it says in 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all believers be united in spirit, like-minded, loving brothers, compassionate, humble, not paying back evil for evil approach, but on the contrary, blessing, because you have been called to this, that you would be a blessing, inherit a blessing. And now this same thing, I'm going to read it in two other translations. 1 Peter 3 in the Hebraic root scripture says, likewise, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if any disobey the word through behavior of the wives, without a word, they will be won. Observing your pure behavior and adorn yourselves with the external adornments of, and do not adorn yourselves with the eternal ornaments of curls of the hair or the wearing of the gold, tinkets or costly garments, but the hidden man of the heart in the incorruptible adornment of the meek and quiet spirit, which is of great value before Elohim. For one indeed, the holy women who are hoping on Elohim adorned themselves, submitting themselves to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him master, whose children you become, doing good and not being confused by false values. And you husbands likewise, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, and hold them in honor as the weaker vessels, because they also will inherit with you the gift of eternal life. And let not your prayers be hindered. And finally, let all live in harmony, that we be sympathetic with all who suffer and affectionate to one another, and be merciful and kind. And then we go to two other scriptures I want to give you. One other scripture was, where is it here? Is Ephesians. In Ephesians, whoops. Okay. Ephesians, it says, Ephesians 5. Living in the light, Ephesians 5. So it says, it says in Ephesians 5 that we are to submit to the authority and the order of Yahweh. Now, this does not put us on an equal level of playing field or equal. The scriptures aren't about, getting what we deserve in equality. The scriptures are about Yahweh's instructions and his guidelines. Yes, men can help their wives, but the call is for women to help their husbands. And yes, women can love their husbands, but the call is for women to help their husbands. So understanding that, it says, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Yeshua. Now, this has been a big problem because this word submitting to one another says, well, there's mutual submission and we should both equally submit to each other. No. If we react on what one other person is doing, that creates a tremendous problem. And this is why I believe there are so many issues in marriage today. It's everyone saying, I'm going to act this way only if I get this way. I'll submit to him if he submits to me. No, the scriptures never called us the men to submit to women. He called us to be the caretakers, providers, and leaders. And women want to have this attitude of equal submission and everything else. But I tell you what, when somebody breaks in your house, you know, and a man's natural response and role in life should be to get up and protect you and to tell you to stay behind where the man could be the one protecting. You want equal submission? You want equality? Okay, come out there with me and let's fight this burglar together. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Yahweh created and designed men and women for a reason. No. Somebody's breaking in the house. I'm going to go out there and protect the family while you help me call the police in the background. You go take the kids and run in the other room and help me by calling the police. Or go run to the neighbor's house or something while I go and deal with this person that's breaking in. While I lead in that way. In protecting while you help. It's not the other way around. Well, you go deal with that person breaking in while I go and get you some help. That's not the way it should be. So we have to understand. It says in the scripture in Ephesians, For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to Yahweh. For a husband is the head of the wife, as Yeshua is the head of the church. He is savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Yeshua, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. In everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Yeshua loved the church. He gave up his life for her. Yeshua is patient with us. He's kind with us. He's understanding with us. He's understanding about the weaker vessel. And so on. And then it says, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of the word. So yes, a man has a job to submit to Yahweh and to keep things in order while a woman helps him do that. Ephesians 5:27, he did this to present her to himself as glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or other blemish. Instead, she will be holy without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. She, in fact, came from him. So no one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it just as Yeshua cares for the church. And then, finally, I want to read Colossians. In Colossians, it says in Colossians 18, wives, submit unto yourselves, unto your husbands, as it is fit in Yahweh, and husbands, love your wives, and not be bitter against them. And then it goes on to more about the order of Yahweh, children, obey your parents, and all these things for it as well. So here's the thing. Number one, summing up this video, and I could have probably just said this in these points. Number one, do not get in a relationship until you're spiritually ready to do so. Until you've dug into the word deep. Until you have a desire to follow the Torah, the instructions of Yahweh, and know what that means. Do not seek a relationship until that point happens. When that point has happened, make sure the person that you think Yahweh is putting in your life is already spiritually grounded in the word as well. Because if you're not, you're heading for disaster. Number two, if you are grounded in scripture, like I suggested, not getting to relationship until you are, your goal, your priority, everything should come down to the main thing is, and whatever words you want to use, that I am willing to, able to, and going to be a helpmate to my husband. That is, you have to understand that's your destiny, that's your goal, that's everything, and that needs to be everything. You got to get away from this feminist stuff of, well, I need to have my own identity, and we need to be equal and submissiveness and all. No, you have to be ready, willing, and able with a joyful heart to help your husband in everything. It doesn't mean I'm not telling you not to love him. I'm not telling you to throw a blind eye. I'm telling you that has to be your number one thing above everything. Regardless if you agree with him, regardless if you see his point, regardless if it makes you feel good, you need to help him, and you must be willing to do that or you're not ready for relationship. And men, you must understand what the scriptures say about love. And regardless of how emotional the woman is going to be on a particular day or something she is dealing with or something she is going through, you need to have the love and the patience and with joy that Yeshua shows us and gives us. Regardless of reacting to, well, she didn't help me with this, so I'm not going to show her love with this situation and so on. And I finally want to say there are people that have gotten themselves in situations by not following this advice that I see as being scriptural from my experience. And I'm not here to tickle ears, and I love when people agree with what I have to say, but nobody's learning if you're agreeing with me. So I pray that somebody, if you disagree with me, leave a comment and tell me why you disagree with me and so on. And don't get into the so-called justification of, well, if he tells me to do something that's not scriptural, then he's causing me to sin and I shouldn't be doing that. Or if he tells me to jump off a bridge, I'm not going to do that. Or if he's beating me up, I'm not going to help him beat me up. No, there are, I don't necessarily want to call them exceptions to what I'm suggesting to you. I don't want to say there are exceptions or excuses. There are certain situations that are completely not of scripture. Women, if your husband's asking you to murder somebody, you don't help them with it. But come on, let's look in reality. How often are crazy things like that happening? You know, we need to get serious about this. And so on, and be real with this. But here's what it comes down to. We are putting ourselves in a position where many of us have made bad choices. We've gotten relationships before we were scripturally grounded. We weren't brought up to be scripturally grounded. Many of us got in a relationship as our eyes were closed to scripture and our spouse's eyes were closed, and then one of our eyes became open. And now you find yourself in a situation where you're both in great disagreement about a topic or a subject that you both have great passion about, and neither of you are willing to give up what you believe about because that's how much passion you had about it. And now what do you do? And the answer, according to scripture, is not to try to think in your mind what I can do or how I can get the upper hand in this situation and so on. The scriptures are clear to pray, to truly pray, to pray and understanding about prayer. and trust that if Yahweh could bring dead people back to life, if he can move mountains and part seas, that he can certainly change the heart of someone. And Yahweh will never leave a person to be manipulative or something like this. No. Yahweh, at the sound of his voice, created the world and can change a person's heart. We need to call out to him. We need to humble ourselves. And we need to pray. And our prayer shouldn't be, make my husband do this or be like this. Our prayer should be, help me be a helpmate and to be patient. Or help me to love this person and to be patient. You know, our prayer shouldn't be to change another person. Our prayer should be that Yahweh's will would take place in their lives. And together we would, you know, study these topics that we disagree with. And remember what I said, with joy. If we don't have joy, Yahweh's not in there. It says when strife is there, the enemy is near. If you have strife in your house and no joy, whatever you're doing, you're not using Yahweh as the foundation. And that needs to change. Don't try to work out your disagreements and your the things you don't agree on while there's strife. No, with joy. With joy. And it sounds kind of difficult how you could have such a passion about somebody, something, and disagree with it. But with joy, you could work it out. But when you know that the answer will happen, when you know that things will be just fine, that is the difference between great marriages and marriages that don't last. As I said, your issue isn't about topics of scripture. It's about how you deal with disagreements. And when you truly understand Yahweh's word and you're in the foundation of it, when you have a disagreement with joy, you say, we have this disagreement, but we know Yahweh's going to work it out. I'm going to continue to love you, and I'm going to continue to help you, and we're going to come to a conclusion, because Yahweh is not a Elohim of disorder. But we're not going to let the enemy come in our house and create bitterness between us because we're not agreeing with each other. So I pray this is helping all of you. And I know many of you have contacted me because you've reached your boiling point, so to say. And there are certain situations and certain things that are unacceptable and justified. You know, as I said earlier, you know, a man's not going to ask you to commit murder or something. You know, I mean, how rare and unbelievable that even somebody would suggest that. But if he does, guess what? Get away from him. You know, let's be reasonable here. Don't help him commit murder. You know, so If a man's beating you, don't stay there and take it, you know, but really, it's not out there as much as people use that excuse. Well, what if this and what if this? And this is what the scripture is talking about. It's far and few between that people will get to these points where a man would get so bitter and angry and possessed by the devil that he would hit a woman that he loves. You know, it's this demon possession there. You know, it's Satan's there. Something going wrong, something bad. On the same hand, it'll take a woman getting to a breaking point to run to another man, because she doesn't feel loved enough by the husband or whatever her emotional feelings are for that day. She'll end up with another man. And this doesn't happen if you're following Yahweh's order and the enemy's not involved. But just as if a woman is in one of these rare situations, you know, where they're getting beat or something, you know, that's not of Yahweh. That situation is not of Yahweh. And sometimes, in a word of safety, you need to get out of that situation. And at the same time, if a woman or even a husband is going to out of the marriage to another person that is not of Yahweh at all, that is not of Yahweh at all. And we are not to be, you know, we could have our disagreements, but we're not to be hanging out in the playground of the devil. You hear me? You're not to be in the playground of the devil. If somebody, whatever side of the party it is, wants to go and get another relationship, why you've made this commitment, that is demon possession, that is of the devil, and you are not to be playing in that playground. Now, if that other person comes to repent and brings Yahweh back into the house, that's a decision the person has to make if they want to stay there or not. That's a decision that needs to be made. But if that person is going to continue to play with the devil and play in their playground, you don't want to be near them. You know, I see from scripture, Yeshua, his great forgiveness and the adultery that was committed that Yahweh forgives us. You know, and Yeshua gives us another chance. And I'd like to say from a scriptural standpoint, if a person is willing to repent, we should give them another chance as long as they don't continue to play in the devil's playground. But it's easier said than done, because when a person has already been treated that way or something has to happen, sometimes it's like you just can't stir up the strength to make that happen. And it's understandable. I don't think it's of it's Yahweh's ideal choice. I think Yahweh's a great God of forgiveness, and as long as people are truly repentive, we must understand the forgiveness of Yahweh. But it's understandable from an emotional standpoint if that's too difficult to do. That's understandable. But without a doubt, 100%, if somebody chooses to play in the devil's playground and invite other people into your relationship, your holy relationship, something seriously wrong there. Now, somebody might suggest me saying on that, well, what if somebody's not keeping a Sabbath or doing Christmas or something else or some of these other things that are inviting evil spirits into the house, and I don't want to support that or be a part of that or condone that? No, that's not what I'm talking about. That is not what I'm talking about. There's a difference between difference of opinion about the scriptures. And there's a difference of it. There's a difference between this person's eyes are just not open yet, and they don't know how important it is to keep Sabbath, or this sin that they're committing is not good. But you know, we could work through this and getting through this. That's completely different than the strife that comes along with the devil worship and Satan being in your house. That's completely different. Remember what I said: when strife is near, the enemy is there. Is near. But other than that, it's remember, helpmate and lover. Just remember those two things, helpmate and lover, and prayer. Helpmate, love, and prayer. So that's going to be the title for this video, because we've made mistakes. We need to pray to get out of these mistakes. And we have the roles of what we should be looking for and what we should be doing. Thank you for listening to this video, and I had time to review it. And before I released it, I wanted to add the importance again and stress on a couple of points. So if there's any questions about that, I'll just answer it right now. The first thing is, when I say people need to be scripturally grounded and have a deep relationship with Yeshua before they move forward into the idea of even thinking about marriage, there are a lot of people out there that believe that they are and achieved a certain place with Yahweh. So how do we know when we're ready and our relationship is strong with Him, where we can go ahead and take this next step? And in doing that, it's more than just the life-changing experience and being born again. There are many people out there that are born again, but they still do not have the foundational understanding of scripture. And we're never going to understand it all or know it all, but certainly we need to have a good foundation before we take on this task and responsibility of doing it with somebody else? How could a man lead if he doesn't have a strong foundation? And how could a woman help someone if she's not deeply involved in understanding scripture? The grace and patience we have with Yeshua is a wonderful thing. But we have to understand the importance of doing and the action that comes with doing his commandments and his work. We have to understand the importance of why he gave us the instructions to begin with in scripture. And I see a lot of relationships fail because a lot of people don't focus on the responsibility of what we have to do and how the consequences of what we suffer from are often a result of our disobedience to Yahweh's word. So we should have the strongest desire to do his will and not just talk about it and be lip service. So I would pray and hope before we entertain the idea of a relationship that we would ask ourselves honest questions about where we are in our walk with Yahweh and to make sure we're truly transformed and ready for a relationship. You know, if somebody who's not there gets in a relationship with somebody else who's not there, then you have two people that are not there. And if you have one person that's there and one person that's not, well, then you have a situation that's unequally yoked. And one of the main messages of this video is you don't want to end up with somebody who's unequally yoked. So I think you need to take the understanding of the importance of really knowing of who you're about to get involved with and making sure they are truly transformed. I mean, one of the first questions you should ask your potential spouse is, tell me your testimonial. Tell me how you found and what the transformation in your life was. What has he done for you? These are important questions to ask before you move forward. So I don't just want to say, make sure you're deeply involved in scripture. I want you to investigate each other and compare it to scripture and also to put it into action. This is one of the most important decisions you're going to make in your life. So please don't underestimate that and think you're ready if you're not. Your life truly needs to be transformed, and you need to be asking yourself questions, and you need to be asking each other questions. And it's okay if you need some time to get to a certain place, but don't get ahead of Yahweh's schedule. This has been part two to a two-part message. You can hear both messages at my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. The title is Three Keys to a Successful Marriage. There's even more other than these two parts on that video. Thank you and have a blessed day. Come
out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33411. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry. No, I'm not coming from the other side. I'm caught up in a raging sea. Crashing in, darkness surrounds me. So relentless, I feel like I'm drowning. My God is bigger than this. He's bigger than this. My God is bigger than this. His love is greater. My God is bigger than this. He's bigger than this. My God is bigger than this. His love is greater. Well, I don't know which way to go.